Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, if you will, please. Galatians chapter 3. Abraham, the father of faith, praise God. And I want to talk about him today. And I want to talk about his faith. I want to talk about the covenant that God made with him and how it affects you and I. And I believe we're going to receive some great things from the Word of God today. So follow along with me in Galatians chapter 3. And I'd like to begin reading in verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, say that was me. God foreseeing that he would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. How many of you would say today that you are of faith? Would you lift your hand, shout, that's me he's talking about? Then notice it says that you are blessed with faithful Abraham. And then verse 13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Verse 16 says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And then verse 29 says, and if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So if you and I belong to Christ, if we've made Jesus the Lord of our life, then the Bible says that we are Abraham's seed and we are heirs according to the promise. Somebody shout, I'm an heir. So whatever God promised Abraham, praise God, that promise is good for me and it's good for you. Now let's go to Romans chapter 4 for a moment. Romans chapter 4. And let's take a look at verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Notice that phrase. Underline it, highlight it. That the promise might be sure to all the seed. As covenant people, you and I have promises that are sure. The Apostle Paul is telling us that these promises are sure to the seed. And the word sure means certain, it means unfailing, and it means infallible. In other words, the promise that God made to the seed of Abraham is infallible. It is certain, it is unchangeable, and it is unfailing. And I don't know about you, but that's good news to me, praise God. God intends for you and I to enjoy everything that he has promised us. If I am living without the fulfillment of God's promises in my life, then it's simply because either I have a lack of knowledge, I don't know what belongs to me, or I'm simply just ignoring my covenant. And for the most part, many people in the world today are suffering for a lack of knowledge. They don't know what belongs to them. That was my case up until 1969. I had no idea that I was the seed of Abraham. I'd never heard that phrase in my life. If I had heard it, I don't remember it. The seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham. I don't know that I'd ever heard that phrase up until 1969. I didn't know that I was an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I didn't know about the covenant of God. Now, my family were Christians, and I was raised in a Christian home. We went to a Baptist church, and our family was very faithful to that church. I mean, I don't know whether you realize it or not, but you are looking at Mr. Vacation Bible School. I mean, I was nominated Mr. Vacation Bible School. Of course, I only went because my mama made me. But anyway, we were raised in church. Mom and Dad taught a training union class with the young people in our church. And, we were raised in a Christian environment. And I can't remember a time that I didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. I can't remember a time that I didn't believe that he was crucified, raised from the dead. And I've always believed that he was coming back. But you can believe all those things and never make him Lord of your life. You know, never really make him Lord of your life, where you give him lordship over your life, where he's number one in your life. Well, that didn't happen to me, even though I'd had experiences with God as a young boy. I heard the call of God when I was 11 years old, watching Oral Roberts on television, 1957. But I didn't surrender my life totally, where I consciously said, Jesus, you're number one in my life. I want to serve you for the rest of my life. That didn't happen until February of 1969. And it was through the ministry of Kenneth Copeland that I began to learn about my covenant with God. And I'll never forget how revealing and how exciting that was when Carol and I began to learn those things. Now, she knew a little more about it than I did, but when I began to study those tapes of Kenneth Copeland on the blood covenant and our covenant with God and subjects like righteousness and faith, it changed my life. And then Brother Copeland sent me a little book in the mail that was entitled The Blood Covenant, and it was by E.W. Kenyon. It was a little book about this big, and it had a red cover. And I remember when I got that book, it would fit right in my shirt pocket. And the day that it arrived in the mail, I started reading that, and I could not put it down. I'm telling you, I like to tore my living room up. I had a Holy Ghost fit. I mean, it was the most exciting thing that I'd ever read in my life. And I'll never forget carrying that thing around with me. And every time I had a break or every time I had a few moments, you know, to just to myself, I'd pull that book out and start reading it again. It changed my life when I began to understand that I had a covenant with God. When I began to find out that I was redeemed from the curse. I remember Brother Copeland preaching about that. And then I got my hands on a Kenneth Hagin book, a little book that cost 50 cents back then called Redeemed from the Curse. And I remember reading that and how profound it was and what an impact it made in my life. And it got to the point to where Galatians chapter 3 and Deuteronomy chapter 28 just automatically fell open in my Bible. I was constantly going to Galatians 3 because it said that if I am the seed of Abraham, then I'm an heir according to the promise. So then I'd go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and see what God had promised Abraham. And then I'd flip back over to Galatians 3, where it says, I'm redeemed from the curse. Then I'd go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning in about verse 14, and read all the way through the end of that chapter to see what I was redeemed from. I began to discover that I was redeemed from every sickness and every disease. Praise God. Oh, man, I tell you, it was one of the most exciting things to begin to realize that we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus, and that there were promises that God had made to the seed of Abraham that we were supposed to enjoy. And over the last 33 years, I have been enjoying being an heir of God and being the seed of Abraham. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I have enjoyed the fullness of all those promises, but I can tell you this, I'm working on it, praise God. Amen, I'm working on it. But one of the most exciting promises to me, I mean, I love them all, but one of the most exciting promises to me has been the promise of the favor of God. We've been talking about the favor of God in our services on the television broadcast for the last couple of weeks now, and I want to continue that today because I had the Spirit of God say to me, as I have said to you in times past, He said, it's time for you to recapture your revelation on divine favor. If you and I were fully aware of just how much favor we have with God, I'm telling you, we would never have another down day in our lives. Amen? When you understand just how much favor you have with God. Now, remember, He said that if you're the seed of Abraham, then you're an heir according to the promise. So let's take a look at something that God promised Abraham. And I want to invite you to open your Bibles now to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And let's take a look at a promise of God to Abraham, our father, and let's remember that we are his seed and heirs according to the promise. In Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Notice the first part of the verse again. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. Now the Amplified says it this way. I will bless you with abundant increase of favors. I will bless you with an abundant increase of favors. In other words, God is promising to increase his favor in Abraham's life. Now let me see the hands of all of you that are the seed of Abraham. Say, I'm the seed, and I'm an heir to the promise. And if God promised to increase his favor in Abraham's life, then he must increase his favor in my life. Why? I'm a seed. Amen? You can expect increased favor in your life. Why? Because you are the seed of Abraham. God's favor on our lives can change every impossible looking situation. No matter how impossible it may seem, the favor of God can change it. The favor of God, when it comes on the scene, when it comes in manifestation form in your life, causes failure and defeat to no longer be inevitable. I don't care how the circumstances look, no matter how impossible it may seem, no matter how much money you might need, no matter how negative a report the doctor or the lawyer or whoever else may have given you, when the favor of God is manifested, when the favor of God comes on the scene, then failure and defeat are no longer inevitable. Praise God. Somebody give the Lord a shout if you believe. If you follow the story of the life of Abraham, it becomes very obvious that the favor of God on his life caused him to become a very prosperous man. In fact, a wealthy man. Favor brings prosperity. Favor brings good things in your life. I was looking in the dictionary this morning, once again, my Noah Webster dictionary. I like it because it not only gives definitions, but it gives scripture references along with those definitions. And I was looking in the dictionary once again, just in case I'd overlooked a definition of the word favor. In my book, Walking in Divine Favor, I gave many definitions for the word favor. But I discovered one that I had overlooked this morning. And the word advantage showed up. In other words, when the favor of God is on your life, it puts you in a position of advantage. In other words, you have something working for you that other people may not have working for them. Amen? I described in my book on walking in divine favor that one of the rewards of favor, one of the blessings of favor, is promotion. Promotion. God will promote you even when you don't have the expertise that maybe a co-worker has. God will give you promotion, give you raises, even when you don't have the seniority that perhaps another co-worker may have. You see, when you have the favor of God on your life, you got an advantage. I said, you've got an advantage, praise God. Amen? I like the sound of that. I like having an advantage, praise God. I've got something on me, around me, and with me that some other folks out there don't know anything about, and that gives me an advantage, praise God. Can you say amen? You've heard me talk about some of the testimonies of the favor of God. And I'm telling you, it gets exciting when you become more and more aware of the favor of God on your life, because then you begin to expect it everywhere you go. I mean, even in little things. I know this is not a life-threatening situation, but even a front row parking lot space. You know, just pulling into it. I pulled into Hewlin Mall the other day. And I was on my motorcycle, and I was out riding, you know, and I decided to go by Hewlin Mall for something, and I'm riding up in through the mall, you know, and it looked like it was one of those heavy days, you know, a lot of people shopping and are in the mall for some reason. I assume they're shopping. And just as I pulled up there, and I don't like parking my motorcycle in certain spots. I want it up close to the door, you know. I want it up there. I don't want to leave it way out in the back where somebody can mess with it while I'm in the store. Of course, an angel will whoop them if they do. But anyway, for those of you that don't understand whoop, that's Texas for whip, okay? I wanted a front row parking space. And so I come around the corner there on my Harley. And just as I was coming around the corner, somebody was backing out. And I pulled right in there. I mean, I was so close I could have... If I'd have been any closer, I'd have been in the mall. And just as I pulled in there, I just lifted one hand and said, thank you, Lord, for the favor of God. That's the favor of God. Now, I realize that's not a life or death situation. But the Lord told me this several years ago, and He's reminded me of this recently again. He said, every time there is an advantage, every time something good happens to you, even if it's small in your mind, declare out loud right then. Don't wait an hour later. Don't wait before you go to bed, but right then, declare, that was the favor of God. That was the favor of God. I don't care what it is. Just begin to declare, that was the favor of God. And the Lord said to me, if you'll become more thankful for my favor, you'll begin to see more manifestations of my favor. You know, God appreciates people with an attitude of gratitude. I can promise you, people that are grateful for what God is doing see more of the goodness of God in their life. People that just take it for granted, you know, and never say thank you, I don't think that's pleasing to God. God likes to be thanked. He likes to know that He's appreciated. Amen? So, I challenge you, in every area, if you leave here today and you go to the cafeteria or some restaurant and you know, you get a good parking place, or the waitress seemed to be nicer to you than she was to somebody else, or you got a little extra service that somebody else didn't get, or if you get up and get ready to walk out and somebody pays for it, be sure and shout, that was a favor of God. That was a favor of God. Carol and I went out to eat lunch yesterday, and we're sitting in this restaurant and having our lunch, and after we got through, I was waiting to pay the bill. And Carolyn got up and she said, I'm going to go to the restroom while you're waiting for the check. And so I'm sitting there and the waitress brought me the check. And the people behind me turned around and tapped me on the shoulder and said, hi, Brother Jerry. I turned around and said, hello, how are you? And they said, we're your partners. We're from Waco. And when we walked in, we saw you and Miss Carolyn sitting there. And we didn't want to bother you, but we see that you're getting ready to leave now, and we just wanted to say hi. We're from Waco, and your ministry's had a tremendous impact on our lives, and we just wanted you to know that we're one of your partners. So I talked to him there for a while and found out that he had just got his pilot's license, and he rented an airplane to fly down to Fort Worth to get a little time, log some time, you know, and his wife said yes. And we are very nervous about this whole ordeal, you know. And she said, but we're so glad that you're sitting here with us. Maybe you can pray for the trip going home, you know. And so we had a good time, and we just visited, you know. And so I got up, and I asked my waitress, I said, are you the one serving the people behind us? She said, no, I'm not. I said, could you find the server? I need to talk to them. And so she located the person that was waiting on them. I said, I'd like to take care of the bill for the people sitting behind me. You know, I just want to be a blessing to them. I was looking for somebody to bless that day, and they just happened to be in the right place at the right time. Praise God. Amen? Now, when I went back to tell them, because I didn't want them to pay twice, you know, I went back to tell them, I said, I just want you to know, this is your blessing day, and your meal's been taken care of. You know what they said? That tells me they've been listening to my tapes. That's the favor of God. Amen. That's the favor of God. Amen. So see, every time something good happens in your life, you ought to declare that's the favor of God. God promised that He would increase His favor on Abraham's life. That He would give him an abundant increase of favor. Pastor Allen was talking about God being more than enough. He's the God that does exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. He's the God that does the running over, praise God. He fills our cup to overflowing. Well, notice His nature is being revealed in this verse. I will give you an abundant increase of favors. How many of you would like to have an abundant increase of favor in your life, praise God? Amen. Well, it's available to us because we are the seed of Abraham. So once again, if you study Abraham's life, it becomes obvious that this favor on his life caused him to become a very prosperous, very successful, very wealthy man. No enemy could defeat him as he walked in the favor of God. And no matter where you put Abraham, I mean, you could put him right out in the middle of the desert and God would make a winner out of him. Every time. I don't care where you put him. Put him in any kind of conditions. Put him in any kind of circumstances. And he would come out a winner every time. In Genesis chapter 24, verse 1, it says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." The New International Version says, "God blessed him in every way." How would you like to be blessed in every way? Anybody in here go for that? Praise God. Be blessed in every way. That sounds like everything you set your hand to do. Amen? Man, what a life. To be blessed in every way. To be blessed in everything you set your hand to do. Well, you and I can be that way. Because the promise that God made to Abraham was sure. And Paul told us in Romans chapter 4 that it is sure to the seed as well. It's just as sure to me as it was to Abraham. We're the seed. And an abundant increase of favor belongs to you and me. And I don't know about you, but I've decided to take all of it I can handle. Praise God. Amen. Won't you just lift your hands right now and say this with me. Heavenly Father, since it's your desire to give me an abundant increase of your favor, I take all I want right now. Bring it on. Amen. Hallelujah. I intend to walk in it. Praise God. Now, in the past couple of weeks, and those of you that are watching by television, if you have, if you remember, particularly last week, we talked about translating the word grace into the word favor. That grace and favor are one and the same. They're synonymous. And as you study the scriptures and you find the word grace, then immediately translate it divine favor. And the reason being is because I want you to become more and more divine favor minded. Grace is mentioned a lot in the Bible. I mean, get yourself a Strong's Concordance. Just look up the word grace. And every time you see it, you think divine favor. Just like you remember I gave the illustration last week how that Brother Copeland has taught us every time we see the word Christ, we translate and meditate. When we see Christ, we don't think Jesus' last name. That's not Jesus' last name. It means the anointed one and his anointing. Now that will give you a revelation of the anointing of God. Well, the same is true where grace is concerned. Every time you see the word grace, you translate it divine favor and then meditate on that scripture. Think about how that scripture regarding the favor of God is going to change your life, change your circumstances. Now, I think it's interesting that in every letter that the Apostle Paul wrote, every epistle that he wrote, he begins his greeting with the word grace be unto you or divine favor. And he closes each letter reminding them that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let's take a look at this just so that once again we can become favor minded. I want you to go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I'm not going to read all of them, but you can either take my word for it or you can search it out for yourself. I'd prefer you search it out for yourself. That in every epistle that Paul wrote, you will see him reminding these Christians of the grace and the favor of God that is on their lives. In Romans chapter 1, notice verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace, what is that? Come on, shout it out loud. Okay, every time I read grace, you shout divine favor, okay? Let's read it again. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Once again, I just want to read a few of them. I won't read all of them. Look at verse 3. Excuse me. Galatians, or 1 Corinthians rather, chapter 1 and verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 2. Everybody there. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Galatians chapter 1 and verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I won't read any further, but I will tell you that if you read the rest of these epistles, you will find in Ephesians, you will find in Philippians, you will find in Colossians, you will find in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, you'll find in Titus, and you'll find in Philemon. A greeting from the Apostle Paul to all of these Christians saying, grace be unto you. So what is Paul doing? It sounds like to me that he is endeavoring to cause them to become grace and favor minded. He wants them to understand that the same favor that was on Abraham that brought wealth and prosperity and success and victory in adversity is on them. We're the seed of Abraham. I don't have to be poor anymore. I don't have to be sick and broke, praise God. I don't have to be under the circumstances. I can be on top, hallelujah. I don't have to walk around the rest of my life with a devil on my back. He doesn't belong there. He belongs under my feet, praise God. I have the favor of God. See, that's what God was talking about when he said, I'll make you the head and not the tail. That's favor. I'll cause you to be above and not beneath. That's favor, hallelujah. In other words, God wants you coming first. Amen. He don't want you to be the last one at work to get a raise. He don't want you to be the last one on the job to get a promotion. He wants you to be the head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. Why? You have an advantage. You have the favor of God working in your behalf. Hallelujah. Amen. We've got to get a hold of this and become more and more conscious of it and declare it every day of our lives. Go with me to the book of Acts for a moment. Acts chapter 4. Now, when you read the book of Acts, it becomes obvious that the early church had a lot of opposition, had a lot of persecution. You know, not everybody was for them. But God blessed them in spite of the opposition. And notice what it says in verse 33 of Acts chapter 4. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace. Come on, a little louder. And great grace. And great grace was upon them all. Now notice, the favor of God was upon them all. He didn't just say favor, he said great favor. Great favor was upon them all. Notice the next verse, the opening part of it. Neither was there any lack among them. Hallelujah. When the favor of God is manifesting in our lives the way God desires it to be, there'll be no lack among us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No lack. That's God's best. No lack. No want. Why? Because the favor of God is taking care of all of that, praise God. So notice, great favor was on the early church. And I have reason to believe if it was on them, since we're the seed of Abraham, I can expect great favor to be on my life as well. God wants you and me to experience His favor in every area of our lives. I have discovered that the favor of God is the difference between winning and losing. The favor of God is the difference between failure and success. When the favor of God is on your life, then failure and defeat are never inevitable. If you are determined that you are not going to give up and you are willing to wait for the favor of God to manifest, then praise God, it'll make a winner out of you every time, just like it did Abraham. Even though the favor of God on our lives does not prevent us from having challenges, so I'm not telling you if you ever get the favor of God, well, you've got it. If the favor of God ever comes on your life, you'll never be faced with another challenge. That's not what I'm saying. The favor of God is the difference between failure and success. When the favor of God is on your life, then failure and defeat are never inevitable. If you are determined that you are not going to give up, and you are willing to wait for the favor of God to manifest, then praise God, it'll make a winner out of you every time, just like it did Abraham. Even though the favor of God on our lives does not prevent us from having challenges, so I'm not telling you if you ever get the favor of God, well, you've got it. If the favor of God ever comes on your life, you'll never be faced with another challenge. That's not what I'm saying. That'd be a lie. Amen? The early church had challenges. Abraham had challenges. Paul had challenges. I'm not saying that the favor of God will prevent you from having challenges. I am saying the favor of God will prevent you from being conquered by them. Hallelujah. The favor of God will keep you from being defeated by them. The favor of God will keep you from failing in the midst of those challenges. I'm sure that everyone in here and everyone watching by television, I'm sure that all of us have some kind of challenge that we are faced with today. Just be honest with me right now. Have any of you in this building challenges that you're believing God for? Anybody in here faced with any kind of adversity that you're believing God for deliverance of? Would you wave your hand at me? Well, that looks like just about everybody in here, and I'm sure everybody watching by way of television, you would admit and agree that you have some kind of challenge that you, in your own natural ability, cannot change. Well, that's why God wants you to experience His favor. You may have mountains in your life today. You know, many times we refer to our challenges or our problems as mountains. And everybody in here probably has some kind of a mountain that you're believing God that that mountain's going to be removed in your life. But Jesus talked about how to remove the mountains in our lives. Let's go to the 11th chapter of Mark. Very familiar scripture. We all know it by heart, but let's go back and read it again. You may have tried everything that you know to do to get rid of these mountains in your life, but it just seems like they're not moving. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Seems like nothing's working. Instead of the mountain departing, it seems like it's getting bigger and bigger. You know, the mountain in your life could be debt. The mountain in your life could be harassment of some kind, torment of some kind, sickness and disease. But Jesus said that you have to talk to mountains. Let's look at the 11th chapter of Mark and notice verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, then he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now notice, Jesus said you have to talk to mountains. I've learned this. If you don't talk to your mountain, it will talk to you. Mountains have a way of keeping you up all night. They'll talk to you all night. They'll try to keep you from falling asleep. How many of you found that out? You either talk to your mountain or it'll talk to you. Amen? I mean, we've even got it worded correctly. Sometimes people say, my debts are mounting up. They've become a mountain of debt. And if you don't talk to that mountain of debt, I promise you that mountain of debt will talk to you. It'll keep you up all night trying to convince you there is no way you will ever get rid of us. We're too big. We've been here too long. And what in the world do you think you can possibly do about us? And you know that faith stuff doesn't really work. Maybe for Oral Roberts, but who are you? I mean, mountains have a way of talking to you. So Jesus said you have to talk to the mountain. But it's not just talking to the mountain, it's saying the right things. In other words, what Jesus said was, you have to speak words of faith to your mountains. Amen? You have to speak words of faith to your mountains and believe in your heart that what you say to those mountains will come to pass. And then Jesus said, you shall have whatsoever you say. Now, you might be asking, what has that got to do with the favor of God? I am so glad you asked, because I'm about to tell you, praise God. Now, this is where I stopped last week. This was my next verse in last week's message. And because of time, I decided I'll wait and preach that this Sunday. We got to Tulsa, Oklahoma on Monday of last week, of this past week, and preaching in a ministerial conference there. And my good friend Happy Caldwell was also one of the speakers. And I'll tell you, if Happy didn't get up and start on the verse that I was going to start this Sunday with, and he preached on grace and favor for about four services, and you would have thought he and I had gotten together and was looking over one another's notes. Isn't that right? Alan and Kimberly were there. And I'm telling you, you would have thought that Happy and I had sat down, studied together. And I mean, he was preaching. He said he'd been preaching the last 3 weeks the same thing in his church that I've been preaching right here. Sounds like to me God's trying to get our attention. Amen? Now, what does favor have to do with our mountains? Well, go to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. And let's look at something here. Get ready to shout. Are you warming up? Get ready to shout. Praise God. Zechariah chapter 4. And let's look. Now, we're very familiar with verse 6, so I'm going to read it. But many times that's where we stop reading. We're going to look at verse 7, but let's look at verse 6 first. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. How many of you have ever heard that verse before? Wave your hand. Well, that's where we usually stop reading. But look at verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain. Now, anybody that has an amplified version, it'll say, you're going to become a molehill. My mother used to tell me, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. Anybody ever heard that? You know, the way you see things, your perspective, something may not be quite as big as you perceive it to be. And, you know, you say, yeah, you're making a mountain out of a molehill. Well, here God's telling you how to make a molehill out of a mountain. Amen? Notice what he says. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain or a molehill. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Now notice what he says. We are to shout divine favor unto our mountains. And when we declare and shout divine favor unto our mountain, what are we doing? We are speaking words of faith, just like Mark 11:23 said we must do. But what we're doing is when we say grace, grace, favor, favor, what we're expressing is our faith in the favor of God to move this mountain. Praise God. Can you say amen? So how many of you have mountains today that need to be removed? I want all of you to look that way, as though that were your mountain. Look over there at that mountain. Now here's what Zerubbabel said. Who art thou, O great mountain? Look at it and say, who are you, O great mountain? In other words, how dare you stand against me? Who told you you were great? Who told you were immovable? Who told you that you could last in my life forever? Look at that thing. Who are you, O great mountain? Come on, say it again. Who are you, O great mountain? Now say this. I have a word for you. Grace. Divine favor. Grace. Divine favor. I speak it against you, mountain. And you have no choice. You must be removed. And you must depart. In Jesus' name. Now give the Lord a shout if you believe it. Hallelujah. Amen. What am I doing? I am applying the divine favor of God to my mountain. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that mountain has no choice. It must depart. It must be removed. I'm operating in the God kind of faith. I'm speaking words of faith. But I'm also speaking my faith in the favor of God. I have faith in the favor of God. You need to develop your faith in the favor of God. Amen. That no mountain can stand against God's favor in your life. Can you say amen? I challenge you to keep speaking to those mountains until they have become molehills. Until they have become a plain. Hallelujah. Amen. Maybe that's the reason our mountains have continued. Because we haven't been speaking the favor of God against them. We've hoped they would move. We've hoped they would depart. We've spent sleepless nights wondering when they're going to leave. But now it's time to speak the favor of God against our mountain. And apparently, no matter how great our mountain might seem, it cannot stand against the favor of God. Can you say amen? As I said last Sunday and on last week's broadcast, don't ever rule out the favor of God. Don't ever rule out the favor of God. Keep shouting to your mountain until every mountain has become a plain. Jesus said, if you believe in your heart those things which you saith shall come to pass, then you'll have whatsoever you say. Now, if you truly believe that the favor of God is greater than your mountain, then it's important that you begin to thank God on a daily basis for the favor of God in your life. The increased favor of God. Thank Him every day for it. Continually praise Him for the divine favor that is on your life. The psalmist said in Psalm 86:15, "But Thou, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious." And the word gracious here means a God that is favorable, or in other words, a God that is disposed to show favor. There's one thing that you'll notice about David. He was constantly praising God for His goodness, His mercy, His grace, His favor that was on his life. And you and I should be the same in our thanksgiving and praise. Constantly praising God for the favor of God. I don't know about you, but I have applied the favor of God to every mountain in my life, and I'm expecting the favor of God to remove them and make them plain and make molehills out of them. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's shout one more time. Divine favor!
Divine favor!
Divine favor!
Divine favor!
Unto every mountain!
In my life!
Now let's lift our hands and shout unto God and thank Him for His favor. Thank Him for His favor. Hallelujah. Thank Him for His favor. Praise God. Praise God. I believe the favor of God is being imparted in your behalf, and every mountain in your life is about to become a plain. Now I want to challenge you once again. Watch for it. Expect it. Believe that it's going to manifest every day of your life. And when it does, no matter how small it may seem in your thinking, give God praise for it. Immediately declare, that's the favor of God. That's the favor of God. Amen? And I believe that you're going to begin to experience an abundant increase of His favor in your life on a daily basis. I believe it. I'm seeing it. And I believe the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Amen? Let's lift our hands and thank God one more time. Father, we worship You this morning. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your favor. Lord, I pray over every member of this congregation. I pray over our visitors. I pray in the name of Jesus that every mountain that they have struggled with in their lives in days past, that those mountains are beginning to melt as we have spoken the divine favor of God against them. We believe in Jesus' name that great victories are in store for us. We believe that failure and defeat is no longer in our future. Never has been, and certainly will never be again. In Jesus' name. And I thank You, Father, for favor being manifest in their behalf on a daily basis. I thank You, Father, that this church, its members, will have testimonies continually of the favor of God. That they'll be able to talk about the advantage, the preferential treatment, the promotions, and the good things that are manifesting in their lives simply because the favor of God is upon them. And Lord, we know that this is not any of our doing. This is all Your doing. It's You who have blessed us with Your favor. It's not because we're somebody, it's because You're somebody. And we thank You that You think enough of us that You would bless us and bestow upon us Your divine favor. And we declare as the psalmist did, surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. And we give You praise for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Can you give the Lord another shout of praise? Hallelujah.